6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Yo, what's poppin'? You know what time it is, your boy, Mr. J Hill, J Hill Podcast. Shout out to all my new and returning subscribers of the J Hill Podcast. Make sure if you're not subscribed, you subscribe now to the J Hill Podcast and send it to somebody. Tell them your boy J Hill is growing. We just hit 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. Shout out to the gang for following us. Shout out to y'all for staying with the journey. But right now, we have a special guest in the building. Y'all know if you've been following me for this long, how much I love having conversations with people from Baltimore.
Oh, yes.
This guy, not just anybody from Baltimore. This guy has been, a prominent figure since I was a kid. Pastor, activist, doctor now, just entrepreneur, somebody that we all looked up to coming out of the city of Baltimore. And I want to say thank you for joining us today. We have Pastor Jamal Bryant in the building. What up, brother?
Man, I'm proud of you.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're doing great.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're an example. You're a role model. You're a hero. You're an influencer. I want to give you your flowers.
I appreciate
you're
that.
You're doing good. I'm cheering for you.
Nah, thank you. It's funny because I kind of wanted to start the conversation off with that. Shout out to my guy, Alex, my producer, right? He brought this to Mitch, and he was like, man, this guy got security. Like, they come scoping the scene, and like, I wonder, I think he said something like, I wonder, like, was this what it's all for, right? And it made me think, like, it's like we, as kids, we want to be the celebrity, some of these prominent figures. We want to be somebody of, like, stature, and we until we find out what comes with it. And yeah, we see how, like, protective you are, and as you should be. Yeah. And I'm wondering, like, did you see that when you first came onto this journey to be this prominent figure?
Yeah, no. The thing about light is that it shines and it burns. Mm. And so people like being up front. Dr. King said, you only know you're up front if somebody's kicking you in your back. Mm. And so it's the weight of it. People want success without the critique. It's an artist's dream to get to do halftime at the Super Bowl. So you put in all of your blood, sweat, and tears, and then have half the country divided on what you did really makes you evaluate what was my motive. Mm. Did I do it to be seen, or did I do it to make an impact? I never dreamed of having security or having threats on me and my family. I never thought of having trolls on Instagram. But when you make a stand for something, it's a part of what comes with it. Mm.
They say, to whom much is given, much is required, right?
No, absolutely.
And it's funny, because we joke before this. I'm like, how do I say it? Dr. Pastor Jamal Bryant? Like, yeah, whatever you want, right?
Yeah.
And given, like, you have so many titles, like, you've done so many things throughout your life, I was wondering, like, one thing we tend to overlook is, who is Jamal Bryant that you want the world to see? Like, when you wake up, you want people to see, this is who I am.
Yeah, I'm a recycled failure. Mm. I'm somebody who, every time I hit rock bottom, I'm gonna find a trampoline. That every time I go through something, it's evident that God brought me out of it. So I'm from Baltimore. I went to City, but I got kicked out in the 11th grade. I came down here for a summer program, and the director of the program drove me to get my GED. So I'm the first person at Morehouse ever let in with a GED. And so it's God's way of keeping me humble to know it ain't about Jamal. It's about a greater power that's behind me. I'm just grateful to be Exhibit A of what God's favor looks like.
Does it ever get hard? To
every day. Every day. Rick Ross, every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm struggling.
Really?
To know that people are dependent on you. So you don't have to have a 10,000-member church. Black men who are watching this know what it's like to have your kids depend on you, have your mom depend on you. And so everybody carries a different level of weight of what's required. You deal with the weight of how many people going to watch this, how many people going to share this, how many people going to subscribe to this, and all of that comes with it. And having to navigate stress and anxiety and worry, and nobody deals with. Everybody who is successful fights depression every 90 days. Because you got to figure out, man, do I bob and weave? Do I sit still? Am I doing too much? Am I doing just enough? Am I slacking off? Did I fall off? Am I coming up? And every day is a mind game to be able to keep your sanity about you.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, man. This is one of the hardest interviews to prepare for.
Yeah.
And I'm usually like really good at preparing, like super strategic at putting things together, like math, right? And this was hard because when I look at your story, I see myself.
Yeah.
And it's so many things that came with you, but at the end of the day, like, I see a man who just want well.
Yeah.
Right? And when I was going to ask, not even about does it get hard to be an entrepreneur, being a spotlight, but does it get hard chasing this journey of success and the aspect of we know why we here on earth and our purpose to get back to the kingdom of heaven, right?
Yeah.
But a lot of times I was talking to an artist named Levasi, and she mentioned about making an idol of success.
Yeah.
And I'm like, does that get hard? Because we're chasing so many things here in a physical life that sometimes we can get distracted of our soul purpose on earth.
Yeah. Comparison is the thief of joy. So you're never able to enjoy the moment when you're looking at somebody else. So you just hit 100,000 subscribers to somebody with 10,000. That's amazing. But if you leave up out of this studio, look at how many Shannon Sharp got. Like, man, I ain't doing nothing. Yeah. Yeah. So you got to get other people out of your mind and figure out what is the path, the journey God has me on. To know that 100,000 subscribers is more than most activists. That's significant. But you'll never be able to do it if I'm comparing myself to Shannon Sharpe and the Cam Newton and the Breakfast Club. Like, Lord, what am I doing wrong? Do I need a co-host? Do I need to add a woman on the set? Do I need leather chairs instead of velvet chairs? So all of that plays in your mind, and you got to stay focused. The number one obstacle to success is ourselves. I came in the studio today. Wasn't no MAGA people outside protesting you. Ain't no white supremacists burning across down the street. What obstructs our success is our lack of focus and our decisions. We go back over and think about the stuff that we messed up on. We had an option, and we chose the wrong thing. So every day, you got to choose. Bishop Dale Bronner says, every day you get up, make up your bed, because that'll say whether you'll make up your mind. If you leave the bed a mess, then the rest of the day you're going to be scrambling. Right. Another writer said, you always know what somebody's life looks like based off of what the back of their car looks like. So if you got Chick-fil-A napkins in the back and an old water bottle and not putting it together, order is the path road to excellence.
But even like that, how you say stay focused and things like that. But I feel like somebody who's chasing both, I'm not going to lie. Like this, like I said, this conversation was it was conflicting for me because I'm somebody who's a man that should have his mind made up, right? Men don't teeter. You know what I'm saying? Men, they say men, like, we know what we want. You know what I'm trying to say? He's not confused. But I feel like at this time in my life, it's like a lot of confusion. And when you say, like, staying focused, I ain't gonna lie to you, man. I think it's like the more I know about God, is like the more I seek. And it's like, again, we're seeking the success, right? When you like comparison is a thief of joy. But like, I feel like we shouldn't even be, part of me feel like that shouldn't be the focus at all. Like, we should, it's like so much of our focus on this earth is earthly things. And as the more I go to church, it's like, that shouldn't be my focus. I feel like almost guilty the more successful I get. I'm like, because the more successful I get, the less I'm talking to God, the less I'm reading my word. You know what I'm trying to say? So when you say focus, I'm like, I mean, are we, it seems like we focus on the wrong things though.
Yeah. You have to be focused on what is my desire over God's will.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, so we pull up things that God ain't in. God ain't tell you you're supposed to have 1 million subscribers. We made that up. So you got to hear in clarity. God, is this what you calling me to do? Is this my assignment? My mother used to say to me, the number one narcotic in America is not fentanyl. It's ambition.
Mm.
And people get high off of ambition and then get strung out. And because of that, they don't know what contempt is. Can I be happy with where it is that I am? Can I be satisfied with where I am? And do I take joy in it? Or as soon as I get to 100,000, is my mind on 200?
Mm.
Or do I take a moment to celebrate that I made it this far?
Can we ever like take a moment though? As men, yes. I'm having a conversation. Men.
Yes, we have to.
How?
We have to. And because men don't, is why men lead in hypertension. Is why we got high blood pressure. It's why black men don't sleep through the night. It's why it is that we looking for something to take the edge off. Because we don't give ourselves permission to decompress or to unplug or to be human. Being a black man has become synonymous with perfection. Mm. And anytime I fall short of perfection, I feel like I'm failing. No, you having a human moment. And we're able to do that.
I understand. I do. I'm with you, right?
Yeah.
However, I'm looking at the other part of wisdom, right? I feel like a lot of like wisdom is going through things and learning over time.
Yeah.
You've had a lot of success. Of course, you've had a lot of things that went left along your career as well. But you're older than I am, right? So it was a time where you had to learn this.
Yeah.
However, you was afforded the space to be successful to learn this.
Yeah.
Who know if you would be Dr. Pastor Jamal Bryant if you learned this 10 years ago, right? Who know if you would be as successful? So I always look at it like it's easy for somebody that's sitting high on the throne to be like, man, you got to get your rest. And you ain't getting no rest.
Yeah.
You just got here and started getting rest.
Yeah. Wisdom is applied knowledge.
Right.
So wisdom, knowledge is knowing that tomatoes are fruit. Wisdom is knowing I don't put tomatoes in fruit salad. Mm-hmm. So your wisdom comes out of how do I apply the knowledge that I have? And so your responsibility in imparting wisdom is finding another young guy and say, hey, man, learn from my mistakes. That I'm going to be a remote control mentor. Mm. That you ain't even got to be with me every day, but I'm going to put it out there. John Kennedy said, if you want to see a great success, look for a great failure. Because anybody who has succeeded at something had to fail first. And the problem with social media and Instagram is we only show our touchdowns. We never show our tackles. You know what I mean? So people walk in your studio like, wow, this guy's doing it. And they have no idea what you started from because success is often in witness protection. Mm. We never really tell people how we do it unless we're selling a kit online. Mm. You know what I mean? So you got to really show it. And people are gravitating to say, man, this is an information age. And a lot of our culture is inspiration driven.
Mm.
So people want to learn. They want to have understanding. They want to have access. But all we're doing is entertaining so we don't really understand where the rubber's supposed to meet the road.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
Having said that, do you think that is a space where we can talk about our failures? Because a lot of times when we when we're being vulnerable, our vulnerability gets like used against us, is used as a weapon almost. And I mean, especially somebody like you, right? Right. You've been through a lot. But you're not on Instagram talking about all of the times that it went left because of course, like, you have a lot of things to lose. Right. You know what I'm trying to say? But it's like those are the things that help people grow.
Yeah. So I think that it's not a tattoo as much as it may be a scar. So I just got remarried in November. I've been divorced for 11 years, and I got divorced because of infidelity on my part. Took 11 years for me to purge and to become a husband. See, a lot of people just want to go have a wedding, but what it means to be faithful, what it means to be committed, what it means to be honorable, that's a journey that had to happen. And a lot of churches promote family life when only 30% of the church is married. So what is family supposed to look like? And so the dynamics of family is not always the Cosby Show. It's a lot of time it's good times. And so we got to redefine what is family and how do we process that?
Man, bro. Oh, my God. Oh, man. I wanted to talk to you about that because I seen you say something somewhere. I think it was on my homie Tyshawn's show, Harley Initiated, shout out to him. You was like, you went wrong in your marriage because, and I'm quoting, probably misquoting, but I went wrong.
It was my first time being monogamous.
Was in marriage.
Yeah.
Whoo, that helped me so much. Yeah. I'm not even going to lie because it makes sense. Like, and I talked to a couple of my friends about it. A lot of times as men, we think that, okay, I'm talking to a chick, and it's just an example, right? Yeah. So I can go do my thing until we're exclusive. Not understanding that is we're really like, reverse engineering. We don't have the reputation that we don't have the reps that we need. Right. I was good in football because I practice a lot. Even with the interviews, I'm good at it because I practice a lot. I failed a lot, but a lot of times we think, okay, it's time to be faithful when I get into a relationship.
Yeah,
you got to practice that before you get there.
Yeah, no, you have to, and we have to look at what it is that we value, because I didn't have a scapegoat or an excuse. My parents were married 55 years with no infidelity. My grandparents on both sides were married over 60 years. So I was raised with examples, but I didn't think it was cool. The statement is said about a man who's an alcoholic has two sons. One son becomes an alcoholic because that's all he saw. The other son never drinks because it's all he saw. You got to make up in your mind, what do I value? What do I look up to? And at what point do I change my standard? Do I change my value? My mother passed in September.
Sorry.
And she said to me, your problem, Jamal, is everybody you admire is single. Because everybody you admire is single, you have emulated their lifestyle. And so sometimes what messes us up is not our environment, drum roll, it's our heroes. We gotta pick heroes who are who it is that we want and what it is that it represents. But let's take a deeper dive, because nobody wants to deal with it, on how many people from my generation to yours, we are a generation apart. How many people from my generation to yours are impacted by what has happened to Diddy? For me, it's a role model. Man, this is a single father getting it. Wow, this is a man who got brand collaborations. Wow, this is somebody who's reinventing himself. So we like celebrity, but we never put honor on character. So when I got to deal with the character of who it is that you are, I got to now reevaluate. The most gifted artist in the history of R&B is going to be R. Kelly, period. Oh. Pound for pound. Nobody can stand with his catalog. Nobody. Who he's written for, who he's produced for, who he's sung with, what he's done by himself. But does character matter? It's not I believe I can fly, I believe I can crawl. You know what I mean? So you got to pick yourself up to say, does character matter or has all of my focus been on just being gifted? Mm. It's more important of who you are when you get off the stage. You know what I mean? You text me and be like, hey, man, I need you to be on the show. One Baltimore dude to another. Month goes by, 2 months go by. Hey, bro, your office ain't reaching out to me. What is happening? Mm. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, hey, man, let me deal with it. I gave you my word. So forget what has happened with the staff. Forget what is the protocol. From one Baltimore guy to another, I gave you my word I'm going to do it. I have 4 other interviews today. Mm. My team was like, hey, man, this ain't on the same as the interviews that you got to do. It don't matter. This is my guy from home. I'm doing it. We got to push it back a half an hour. Got to push it back an hour. It don't matter. I'm getting there. This is nowhere in the area where I need to be.
Thank you, brother.
No. I'm getting you to the point that even if you never broadcasted, hey, y'all, today Jamal Brown was supposed to be here. His staff pushed me off. They put me through a vetting. They changed 3 times. And then at the last minute, a major network called, so he canceled on me. You may have never said it in a mic, but you would have said it in your heart. And when you saw me, you would have thought a different way, be like, oh, man, forget it. They'd be like, oh, man, did you see Pastor Bryant clip? Yeah, that's great. But in the back of your mind, you're like, dog canceled me. Dog played me. Because your character has got to matter. So it's not what you're doing on the camera that counts the most. It's what happens when the lights get pulled out.
Bro, I agree 100%. From generation to generation, where do you think it got conflicted or it went out the window, character? Yeah. Is it the social media? Is it the money?
No, character has always been out the window. Social media has made it known. Man, Diddy ain't make up freak offs. Child molestation didn't start with R. Kelly. The light is now on. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Michael Mack said the chickens are coming home to roost. And so I think that now you got to live above board because you don't know who recording. Mm. You don't know who taping. So stuff that was suppressed for years, forget. Ebony or Essence or Hollywood Unlocked. Secrets that our families kept. You know what I'm saying? Until Uncle Tommy died. You know what I mean? Now is just out here.
You know, it's funny. Yo, I'm so... It's funny because I've been fighting this fight. And yeah. A lot of times I get confronted with the fight of just like throwing it past. So, for example, I had a conversation with hip-hop historian Wayno, right?
Yeah.
And we were talking about the Diddy situation, and I brought up like R. Kelly as well. And I was like, it's so frustrating as somebody who's reaching for higher level of success to see our idols fall to like just bad characters. Just it is what it is, right?
Yeah.
And I guess the argument is like, well, we shouldn't be looking at them as anything outside of good musicians. And I'm like, that's not fair to say because as kids, these were the people that we looked up to.
Yes.
So when I get as an adult and I'm like, bro, I know right from wrong and I see R. Kelly, one of the best R&B musicians in the world, in the history, is a child molester.
Yeah.
Of course I feel a way about that, right? I'm like, how could you?
Right.
But we hear people say, man, they're just artists. We shouldn't hold them of a high regard anyway.
Yeah.
And like, nah, because that does something to the kids that looked up to them.
Yeah. Yeah. A star means you shine in the dark. Mm. When you become the darkness, you are no longer a star. And so you've got to be able to measure out what it is that I look up to and what it is that I admire and what it is that I focus on. And that's so critical. You find the best in people, but you learn from the worst in people. I remember when I was a teenager, I had my first job in Baltimore. I was bussing tables at a restaurant. I came home, I'm complaining to my mother how I hate my manager. I want to kill this dude. He's terrible. And my mother said to me, you only learn how to be a good boss by working for a bad one. So under a bad boss, you learn what not to do. And I think that's the critical point that every person has got to get to.
Mm, that's true. Let's go back to the infidelity piece.
Yeah.
I'm somebody that I don't want to say went through it, that did it. Yeah. Right? So, like, I'm going through a situation with my ex-wife.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, like, I feel like I look up to all the guys who are married. Like,
yeah.
That's my ideal, like, person. I want to be this man who show young guys, young boys how to be men and the right men, right? Like, have character, have standards. Don't chase what the world is chasing, right? Like, be faithful to your family. And I still, right, had a similar story to you. Like,
right.
I cheated on my girl years ago, right?
Yeah.
And I said it was because of immaturity, right? She hurt my feelings, and I didn't know how to either have a standard or have a boundary and enforce my boundary by leaving or being able to have a conversation and getting over what hurt my feelings. So I then went outside the house and I stepped out.
Right.
But I feel like I look up to people who are married. So I still had a similar situation to you. Where do you think we go wrong as men when it comes to these relationships and infidelity?
Is absence of communication for what you just outlined, that your feelings are hurt. Yeah, I mean, and we don't have space to express our humanity, to say that I'm wounded. Now, your girl gonna do it all day. Why you raise your voice? Why you look at me like that? Why you go downstairs while I'm upstairs? Why you still up and I'm getting into bed? The women in our lives know how to communicate. We don't. I was teaching at a men's conference a couple of weeks ago, and I said to them, the question every man hates to hear, where you going? you could be going nowhere.
Yeah.
But just to hear it, all of your skin is going to climb up on your neck.
Yeah.
Is that we look at being held accountable as an accusation. Mm. And we don't know how to reel it in that it is a partnership. And our partnership says, hey, this is what I like. This is what I feel. This is what it is that I need. This is what I don't like. We do it through trial and error, and we mess up based off of something. She should know I don't like mushrooms. How? She should know I'm allergic to peanuts. How? She should know I'm lactose intolerant. How? And so men have got to do a better job of communicating what it is we like, we don't like, and what we won't tolerate.
You know, the thing about that, though, as I've gotten older and learned how to communicate more, again, it's like a double blockage almost, right?
Yeah.
We're already behind the eight ball. We don't communicate. Then we don't know how to express our feelings, right? So picture this. In the world where I learned how to communicate and I don't understand that it's another gate in between us, and that's the vulnerability aspect of expressing that you hurt my feelings. I don't know how to communicate first, and I damn sure don't know how to express my feelings. So now I communicate, and the moment I communicate to you, you strip that away from me, and
you—it's
like you fight me back,
and
you don't hear me.
Yeah.
Now you hurt my feelings, and now I thought I just broke through a barrier, but there's a whole nother barrier to break through.
Yeah, because we're all bringing baggage, we're all bringing issues, and we don't have the patience to extend grace. So that woman, you have no idea. Didn't have a present father, or when he was there, the only interaction she had was seeing him arguing with her mother. So arguing became normalcy. So how do I communicate when I don't agree? How do I communicate when we got conflicting opinions and conflicting values and conflicting perspectives? Or I'm judging you based off of the last three people I dated, not based off of you. So I got inherited trauma on what it is that I've endured, and I think it's normal. I was counseling a young lady at my church in Baltimore, and she said every relationship I was in was abusive. When I met the guy who she's married to, she thought he didn't love her because he never hit her. So when you carry that kind of trauma, that kind of pain, and that kind of toxic expectation is going to throw everything off. So we got to recalibrate all the way around on how it is that we process and give space for other people to communicate what they're processing.
Mm. You said that you went wrong because you waited to be faithful until you got married.
Yes.
Was that the, like, what was the actual takeaway? What did you learn from that? I know that was a great statement, but like, what did you actually learn from it?
What I learned from it is my selfishness, my greed could cost me my whole family, could cost me my reputation, could cost me my ministry for something that wasn't even worth it. And 9 times out of 10, a man cheat, not even with somebody he loved. You're just passing time. It didn't even mean nothing. If they never called you again, you would lose no sleep. And so you got to really weigh out, what does it mean for my decision? Doesn't just impact me, but it impacts the people that are connected to me.
Whew. And the thing about it, I heard you talk about this on Cam's show, Cam Newton.
Yeah.
You was like, the thing about being a celebrity is you can't take it back.
Yeah.
Now, you, once you become a celebrity,
yeah,
you can't take it back. And I'm wondering, like, that has to be hard to be able to be like this big face, right?
Yeah.
And you can't even be normal almost. Like, you can't even be a human. Like, you can't grow in the eyes of the internet because they'll never let things go. Granted, you were able to get over these things.
Yeah.
But it's like, man, how do you get through things like that in those moments?
Yeah, I think that you can embrace it and not wear it. So I cheated. I'm not a cheater. Mm. and you can't allow other people to project your mistakes as your identity. So you said you ain't know what to call me. Well, that was Dr. Bryant, because I got a bachelor's from Morehouse, a master's from Duke, a doctor from Oxford. Nowhere in your preparation and your struggling on how to interview me did you ever think to call me a dropout. It's what I did, but that ain't who I am. And so we got to learn, how do we separate what I did from who it is that I am? And that's what America has a problem with returning citizens, is a brother can do his full time, day for day, and he comes out and he's still looked at as a felon, as if that's who he is. And we change the rules if you're a white man running for president. Yeah, so you have to be able to separate what I've done from who it is that I am.
But when did you, that sound good.
Yeah.
It is good.
Yeah.
But that ain't always good when you're going through it. At what point were you able to learn that and really master that?
No, years. I told you it took me 10 years. I did a 10-year bit outside with no parole officer, no ankle bracelet, and never peeing in a cup. I condemned myself. And because I condemned myself, I had to free myself. And everybody has to get to that point in your life. How long am I going to hold myself hostage to the mistake I made? And when am I going to give myself permission to be free?
Do you believe in compatibility?
Yes.
I ask that because I still think it's another aspect of this, of like, sometimes what they say, it could be the right person with the wrong time.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like a lot of us are out here just chasing the blind with what people we shouldn't even be with.
Yeah. The problem is, I'm going to say it, and this may be the end of the show. You may throw the mic down and say, all right, Pastor, let me walk you out of here.
No, I ain't going to do that.
The problem is, a lot of times we confuse compatibility with attraction. Who is your type? Gentlemen, if y'all listening, write this down. A lot of us are slowed down because who is your type is not always your body type. So we want them to be a different way from the neck down, but we want somebody from the neck up. Yeah, so we have to mature as men on not sacrificing the whole package, but so many men will sacrifice a body for a brain. She look good, all bets is off. I don't care that she can't read, conjugate verbs, don't know how to balance her own bank statements, but the body banging though. So that compatibility is who will help me to be better, or who will just help me maintain. And any woman that comes into your life who you're compatible with, has got to be able to make you be better. To say, hey, you got 100,000. 60% of that 100,000 who's watching your podcast, I'm doing this, I don't have no demographics on your show. 60% are women, right? A woman will come down into the studio and say, if 60% of your viewing audience is women, why you only got pictures of men up? Where do they see themselves? Where do they identify? And how are you now meeting the mandate of your base? One of your guys is just going to come in like I did. Man, these pictures is great. Where can I get this in my man cave?
Right.
A woman is going to give you a different kind of perspective that two men won't necessarily see.
But I feel like a lot of times we see that, and again, we run with it. Not understanding is more than just that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't want to get, like, even in my situation, I think, like, I had great times, but we also had some really bad times.
Yes.
But how do you know what's compatibility? How do we know what's really equally yoked or not?
Yes, is that, I know y'all are all for K-Dot. Drake said, I'm not here for a long time, I'm here for a good time. Mm. Is that, does the bad time mean I can't see it through the rough times? We all want a trip to Disney World, Six Flags, and King's Dominion. And whenever you've gone, a ride has been broke. Mm. But you didn't say, I ain't going back to King's Dominion no more because the bumper car was broke. You found what else worked.
We're still getting on flights, too. Knock on wood, we're still getting on them flights. Yeah, this is crazy right now.
Yeah, so I think that you got to figure out, dig in and build with somebody who is worth the bad times.
Mm. It's crazy because, like, I be saying that, and just, again, because I want to get into the church aspect of it. You said, like, a majority of the church will push the marriage agenda when it's only 30% of the church that's married themselves.
Right.
And I think that was what happened with me. I got into a new church, right, and, like, all of my, we have, like, groups. Back home, I'm not used to this, first of all. Like, Atlanta's crazy. It's different.
Oh, yeah.
Back home, my church is, like, 40 people, 50 people, maybe. Like, in Atlanta.
It's a different world, brother.
It's different. So we got groups, and, like, my group, a lot of successful black men, all married.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be very vulnerable with you. Like, and I remember the moment I'm like, I want to be better in the eyes of God.
Yeah.
Right? And drinking might be hard for me. Not cursing might be a challenge for me. But I do have a woman that I love. And yeah, we have our ups and downs.
Yeah.
But we ain't breaking up, so me getting married could bring me closer to God than I already am.
Yeah.
It was like a, it was kind of like a false pressure from the church. Not saying it was real, but you almost felt it.
Right.
And it was like, I felt like I prematurely did something because, again, of what I felt like I should do in the eyes of the church and in the eyes of God.
Yeah, it's no different than a woman thinking a baby gonna save the relationship.
Mm.
Is that you can't do it to get to God. You already gotta bring him with you. And so finding that defining moment that churches really give a full breast that says, women, submit yourselves to the man. Nobody goes to that next verse. As he is submitted to God.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's not supposed to be able, have to make you a disciple or discipline in your prayer life. You got to already have that as you are not just becoming a husband or the boyfriend or the man of the house. You are becoming the priest of the house. And becoming the priest of the house means I pastor this joint. So y'all pray based off of how my...
Are you a financial advisor considering the independent RIA model and wondering where to start? Start with Schwab Advisor Services. They've helped thousands evaluate the full range of options and can help you determine your best path forward. Start your journey today at advisorservices.schwab.com/paths.
Prayer life is. Y'all read the word based off of what my study life is. And I think it sees itself replicated.
But that gets so conflicting though, right? I'm wondering, like, you're a pastor. You've been for a very long time now, but you're still human.
Yeah.
Was it ever sometimes where you find yourself in compromising positions where you knew this is what you should do, but you really didn't understand?
Yes. Yes. Let me say this to you. You're in good shape. You look like you work out.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier for you to get junk food than it is to get healthier food. It's also cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
I can leave here from this studio 10 minutes, you can get a burger, I can get lemon pepper wings and fries. for me and you to go find somewhere to get a salad, we got to pay double the price and drive even further. There's no drive-through restaurants for salads. It's an inconvenience to be healthy. And it's an inconvenience to be righteous. For me to walk away from what I got access to. Holiness is easy for people with no options. Holiness is more daunting and testing when I know I can, but I decide not to. And so that's the position that you got to find yourself is, I want to drive extra to get the salad, even though Chick-fil-A is more convenient.
That's real. Yeah. Do you think, just stay on the church aspect of it, again, I tell you, like, I'm being honest in my walk, again, I feel like the more I know, the more questions I have. And I feel like that's not right. I feel like I shouldn't question God. But it's like, before I was an adult, when I was a kid, I knew God exists. Like, I knew it was real. Like, I seen it, miracles, all of that, right? But as I get older, I'm like, man, I start to feel like religion really was created to separate us, because even in Christianity, it's like a lot of the Christians are the most judgmental.
Yeah.
Even in Christianity, it's like we're having this fight, this war within Christianity of which denomination is right. And it's like, I just feel like it shouldn't be that.
Yeah.
Do you?
I agree. Full stop. I agree. And I think that that's where man gets involved. I'm here in, we're here in Atlanta. Darius Daniel, Change Church, killing. Philip Mitchell, killing. William Murphy, killing. Dale Bronner, killing. Creflo Dollar, killing. E. Dewey Smith, killing. All of us combined, still haven't won every center in Atlanta. Still more Negroes who didn't go to church Sunday than did. So there's no reason for me to be in competition with them. It's my responsibility to get the loss at any cost. And that's what I'm trying to do.
How do we get the loss when, I guess that's what I'm saying, because I'm trying to, I know, like, so what I know is we are here to get back to heaven, out home, right? But it's like when one church is, we talk about false prophets, right? Yeah. One church is saying this, another church is saying this, and then another religion is saying this, another religion is saying this. And it's like, man, I just want to make it to heaven.
And I'm with you, but you'll never go in Neiman Marcus. You'll never go on Saks Fifth Avenue. And they tell you not to buy clothes from Shein. You'll never go in Macy's and there's a sign telling you not to go to Fashion Nova. Their quality speaks for itself. They are so focused on making Neiman's number one. They got no time to downplay number 10. Where the church messes up is that we don't perfect who it is that we are. We spend so much energy downplaying who everybody else is. And I think that our focus, as you've said three times in the show, heaven is our home. But we so busy, it's a party over here. This the best church. If you ain't at this church, you ain't listening to nothing, that we're losing who it is that we are and what it is that we're supposed to be.
I don't want to make this one of them conversations, but I'm just it's burning as a burning desire. Like, so since I've been in Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
Like, I've been learning about the Sabbath day, right? And how it was abolished and we should keep the Sabbath day holy and things like that. And again, it's like when I read the scripture, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But again, it's like most of the world go to church on Sundays. And then we hear scriptures like, what is it? Why does the gate that most people will go and perish and narrow the one we go get to heaven? Yeah. And it's like, it makes sense, but again, like, you just never know. And I'm just wondering, like, from somebody, a pastor that teaches on Sunday, what are your opinions about all of the other teachings of Christianity?
Yeah, I think nobody is going to hell because they didn't do it on Saturday. I think something has happened in American culture that we have named a day of the week. You got me? Your relationship with your girl, imagine what space you all would be in if you only took her out on Sundays. You said to your girl, hey, Sunday's your day. I'm going to talk to you on Sunday. I'm going to pay attention to you on Sunday. Wherever you want to go on Sunday, I got you.
I don't think she would like
that. No! No, we have reduced God to a day. And I think it's so much further, so much larger, and so much wider than that.
I also feel like people do make excuses, though, because the Bible is clear. The Bible says what the Bible says. And even when it comes to this conversation of, like, I hear more people today say, I'm more spiritual than religious. Yeah. And I feel like that's just an excuse not to follow what the word says.
Yeah, religion is supposed to be discipline. And a lot of people don't like discipline. They like the entertainment value of church, not the structure of church. Mm. That's why church is jammed on Sunday and empty for Bible study. Mm. Yeah, people don't want to know the real regimen. That's why factions like Hebrew Israelites are growing because they're giving instruction. They're given order. They're given discipline. And we give in turn to your neighbor. Mm. Give somebody a high five. But not really doing the teaching that's necessary to suggest what are we supposed to be as a Christian.
I was going to ask you that. Yeah. Even like, well, again, the new churches, it seems like we've been getting away from the word. And honestly, I'm human too. So y'all can judge me all you want. I don't care. I love the new aspect of like, it's more so like motivational. Right, like you go to church, it's like you can also hear like with something that's relatable to my life. I think that's great. However, if I'm thinking about, again, getting back to the kingdom of God and having eternal life, it's like we're getting further away from the word and more into motivational speech. It's like our pastors are more motivational speakers than actually followers of Christ and teachers of the Bible.
I think what is happening is we are judging the whole profession on people who are popular. Mm. And that's not the case. So a lot of people watch Greenleaf and think all pastors living in a mansion. 80% of pastors are bivocational. Mm. They preach on Sunday and work in the mailroom Monday through Friday. Mm. Most pastors ain't in no Bentley, ain't in no Benz. They doing the best in a Yukon. And so I think that we've got to really readjust when we clump everybody into one. And we're not really focusing on the many. There are 3,000 churches in Metro Atlanta. Most people know the names of 10. Mm. Does that suggest the other 2,900 ain't doing the work? Yeah, they doing the work. I pastored in Baltimore, had a 2,500 seat sanctuary, did 3 services on Sunday. You went to a church of 40 people. Mm-hmm. That don't mean that I'm better than your pastor. That's where we bastardize success. We think success is always in the number. And success is on the outcome. Mm. So if your pastor at 40 made better Christians than I did seeing 2,000, who is the better pastor? Because I didn't have no small groups. The church was too big for it. Mm. You understand? And so I think that we got to recalibrate and redefine what is success in ministry. What is the success of broadcasting? What's the success of podcasts? Is the impact? And what is the real influence? We just count numbers. Mm. David lost his kingdom, not because he slept with Bathsheba, not because he set up Uriah for murder, because he counted who he had. Mm. A lot of us are losing our place in God because we keep counting. Our job as shepherds is not to count sheep, but to weigh them, to see how heavy they are, how much word is in them. My wife pulled me aside and said, Jamal, you going to hit a danger zone. I said, why? She said, there are more people in this church speaking your name than speaking the name of Jesus. Mm. If every time they got to get up, they got to give honor to you, but not giving honor to him. Is it a church or is it an occult? And we got to make sure that we keep focused on who is the main thing. It ain't the pastor.
But that's, I feel like, again, that's what it should be. Yeah. But that's so normal because even in my church, I can't even say thank you. I say this to say it was weird for me where that should be the standard. That should be the norm.
Yeah.
But like, so I go to say thank you to my deacon, right? Like, you give a great Bible study. I'm like, man, you did great. He like, praise God. And it is almost uncomfortable because I'm not used to that. Yeah. That's what we've been taught our whole life. Like, great
retrain
job.
Retrain the brain. retrain the brain.
Where do you think we got lost at, though?
Yeah, I think that we had church culture, but not a church life. Mm. I give this story all the time. I flew into New York a couple of years ago to go speak at a conference for Reverend Sharpton. My plane got in late. I jumped in a cab. I'm halfway to the convention center to speak. The cab driver pulls over, says, "I'm sorry, it's my prayer time." Pulled over to the side of the road, popped the trunk, pulled out a prayer mat. Started praying on the curb. Mm. I'm the preacher. I'm mad. Because you got to take me to where I'm supposed to be. And then I was convicted that my members don't have a prayer time. Mm. We pray before we eat. So the discipline of it is so important, is so critical. We have made church an event and not a part of our lifestyle.
Mm. But I think that's a, you don't think that's like a world? Like that's most of this country.
Well, the fastest growing religion in America is no longer Christianity, is now Islam. Mm. And the Bible says we in the world, but not of it. We don't take our cues from what the world is doing. We're supposed to live in an alternative universe, drinking from a different oxygen tank by virtue of the fact that the world has more order than we do. Mm. You will rush through traffic, drive through red lights to get to a movie on time. For church, you'll get there. Mm-hmm. Oh, the praise team's still up. We good. Yeah. So we have to have a different value and a different qualification of what is the value of time.
I'm curious, going back to the love thing and the relationship thing, do you believe in unconditional love?
Yes.
What do you think that is?
I think I am the recipient of God's unconditional love.
Okay, well, on earth, yes, between humans, do you think that can exist?
I think it comes with intention and as a decision. There's somebody who's watching us, whose grandmother got dementia. They got unconditional love when the grandmother don't remember their name. Somebody else who's watching this, they got a child with special needs, who's 12 but has the mental development of a six-year-old. It's unconditional love.
Between partners, though.
Yes, I'm getting into it.
Okay.
Yeah, so the unconditional love means I love you when I know your flaws. Here it is. We are looking for unconditional love to be acceptance of my brokenness. Mm. Unconditional love challenges me as my brokenness. To say, hey, man, I love you, but I'm still going to challenge you. You are not going to spend that whole check at Magic City. Mm. I love you, but you're not going to get in this bed after just watching porn all day. And your mind ain't even on me. It's on what it is that you've been watching. I love you, but you still going to have to go get a job. You 19 years old playing video games in my house and just eating up my food and sucking up my air. Unconditional love is seeing my flaws and I decide I love you through the flaws, not accepting you as the flaw.
So you think it's a world where, because who was the guy, the African guy, I think his name was, I forgot his name, but he said, it was a joke, but he was like, he said, try Jesus, don't try me.
Yeah.
What's his name? Toby Ingwe, right? Yeah. So he has a song like, try Jesus, not me. And even like thinking of that, I think of Corinthians, what is it, 1:13?
Yeah. Love endures all things, bears all things. He said that, Toby sang that song to the world and on tour. He ain't sing that to his wife. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, but I think of that just in a...
No, I get it.
Because when I think of Corinthians 1:13, right, I think of like God loved me like that.
Yeah.
How could I love somebody else like that?
Yeah.
Because there's so many things.
It's a decision, but you have to do it with a boundary.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So everybody has parameters. So we got people in the studio with us, and he's kind, he's gracious, he's prepared, he's equipped. But if somebody who in the studio would have just come walk through here, it's like, hey, I wanted to say something. I want to add something.
You good?
Now you love them. They're great. They on the team. I let you be in the studio. Well, come on now. Cut. Everybody break. And that question may be a good one.
Right.
But you're not letting them in a recording no more.
Right.
I got to love you outside the studio.
But I think when I read the scripture, I was supposed to let you back in. That's what I hear from it.
Oh, okay.
No?
I didn't hear that.
Mm.
Yeah. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. And we confuse forgiveness with reconciliation. Mm. Just because I forgive you don't mean I got to let you back into that same space. And because I didn't let you in that back same space don't mean I got a grudge.
Mm.
Tupac said, just because we beefing don't mean I don't want to see you eat. I just don't want you to eat at my table.
Mm.
You understand? So I think that what are our boundaries around what we love and what we do?
And I think I was saying something like that not too long ago, even to Alex. We talk have a lot of conversations. But I was saying, I think it should be some conditions on love.
Yeah.
And I was saying how I can't just go to, they say,
you
come
got
to church.
A sister?
I don't.
You don't? Mm-hmm. Okay. You got a good female friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a good female friend who's like your sister, right?
Mm-hmm.
You will tell her, hey, man, I ain't in your relationship. You my girl. But you can't let this man lay hands on you.
Mm-hmm.
That's about that. That's the condition. The condition is, hey, you raise your voice. You not return my phone call. Leave me on red. But you ain't putting my hands on my girl.
Mm.
You understand? And I think that we've got to have what are those parameters that we live in and what it is that we really hold up as a standard.
Yeah, because I compared it to church. Like I can't come to God a certain way. It's an order in which I need to come to God when I pray.
Yeah.
Even though they say come as you are to church, we know that it's an order in which I'm supposed to come to church, respectable how I look, right? So if God has conditions to how I approach him, then you won't have conditions of how you approach me.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Mm.
But my conditions are self-respect.
Mm.
Is self-awareness, is that because I know you don't respect me, I'm not going to let you stay in my house till you get on your feet. How long is that? is that a weekend? Is that a year? Is that a month?
Yeah.
I'm up hustling. I come back, you just eating Netflix and eating my Doritos. I'm like, hey, man, let's order a pizza tonight.
Right.
Yeah, so I think that unconditional love does not mean that I don't have boundaries.
Mm.
You got a cousin come down here from Baltimore who's struggling, and you left to go do whatever you're going to do with your girl. You come back, and your necklace gone.
Mm.
I love him, but hey, man, you can't stay here.
Mm.
Yeah, so you got to have some tough love.
So, okay, I say this a lot, right? And Alex might know where I'm going. I know that I shouldn't be talking about this or believing it, but I'm human.
Okay.
I swear I asked, I said, yo, what's his zodiac sign?
Yes.
I asked that.
Yeah.
He's like, Gemini, like Taurus, cuz I'm like, bro, you give Gemini energy because like you're disruptive.
Yeah.
Like when I think of destructive, again, you might not agree, but Donald Trump, Kanye West, like Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
All of these people that went against the norm, extreme against the norm, but were successful at it. I feel like your approach to how you go about things, be extreme, but I understand it.
Yeah.
However, a lot of the work you've got criticized about, it's a lot of things we know.
Every day.
It's a lot of things.
Every day.
You got criticized about so much about it.
Yeah.
I guess what keeps you motivated and driven to keep coming back, even though your ideas might be different than what most of the world see?
Yeah. John Maxwell said, if you want to be liked, sell ice cream. Mm. The moment you have to have, one of my favorite books is The Courage to Be Disliked.
Mm.
You understand? Is that I'm not doing it for the affirmation. Again, I'm doing it for the impact. There's nobody great that everybody liked. Mm-mm. Let's not even bring Jesus in it. When Dr. King was assassinated, it was his lowest popularity amongst black people.
Mm.
Whatever it is that you do that's going to be different, somebody gonna have something to say about Miles Davis, one of the greatest trumpet players who ever lived, with sellout Carnegie Hall, Kennedy Center, jazz clubs in Paris and in London and Geneva, Switzerland. 5,000, 10,000, 15,000 people there. They would come and he would play the trumpet with his back to the crowd. His manager said, man, all these people came to see you and you ain't even facing them. He said, they didn't come to see me. They came to hear me. Mm. So if they can hear my trumpet, they shouldn't have to see my face. Mm. And I have learned to turn my back to the crowd. There's always going to be somebody who has something to say. My sister helped me with something. She said, never take criticism from people who did less than you. Mm. People who did more than you want to see you win. People that did less than you always want to stop you.
Yeah. But you're a pastor.
Yeah.
We got you in the highest of regard.
Yeah.
So you can't just go out
I'm
here.
I'm the pastor. I ain't the Pope. So if you don't like my church, go to another church. Mm. It's 3,000 in Metro Atlanta. You ain't got to go to New Birth. Go to Dream Center. William Murphy is my guy. Mm. Go to Change Church. I love Darius Dan's, one of the best preachers on the planet. I'm telling you, one of the most sound wisdom teachers of the Gospels, Bishop Dale Browner. Go to him. My aim is not for you to be attached to me, but to be connected to him. And if I am not the best river for you to come down to get to him, go get in another one.
But it's easy to say that when you're successful. If you come take on, away man. Everybody
yes.
at your church,
yeah.
you saying the same message? Is the message still the same?
Yeah, I'm saying to you, I came to New Birth to an empty church. Mm. Come on now. Yeah, the Bible says your sheep will know your voice. Mm. And those who I am called to have been drawn to me and drawn to the ministry that I carry. It's a whole lot of people that live in Decatur who ain't messing with me. My job is, man, go to somebody's church. I don't want a pastor wearing sweatsuits. Okay, go get you a pastor wearing a robe, wearing a black suit, wearing a dashiki. There are some people who are saying, I don't want a preacher who deals with politics. Only deal with the gospel. That ain't me. So I think that's why you got so many churches, because there's so many choices. The reality is Baskin and Robbins has 31 flavors. Do you know what the number one selling flavor at Baskin Robbins is?
You vanilla? Don't know? I don't know.
Vanilla. With 30 different choices, most people pick plain. Mm. They don't want Rocky Road. They don't want pistachio. They don't want rum raisin. They don't want cherry jubilee. They want plain. And so most people are going to choose the plain option. Mm. I'm not plain. I'm a sundae.
Do you choose to be that way?
It's who I am.
And when I say, when I look at you, bro, I swear for goodness, I be looking at my life and I'm like, I done made so many, I don't want to say bad decisions, but it just be like, it ain't have to be that hard.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about you. Now when I'm thinking about it, I'm like, you know, there's some things that was like, you ain't really had to say that. Or even when, think about the, we just talked about it, since the new church you come in, right?
Yeah.
When you came into it, all of the things that were surrounded that church.
Yeah.
Like, why? Why I choose that? Why I do that?
I didn't choose it. I'm telling you, God put me there. I went there kicking and screaming. Mm. But I know that that's my assignment. See, we often look at God's choice for us is to be something that's perfect. If it's perfect, then the anointing on our life is unnecessary. Mm. We are anointed to make something better. We're anointed to improve something. We're anointed to change something. You cannot marry a perfect woman. You will not be necessary. Mm. You got to have something that I add to the table, something that makes this woman better, something that gives her a different kind of perspective, or else I'll feel like I'm not necessary. And so I was necessary for New Birth. I'm necessary for Atlanta. I'm necessary for the culture as a disruptor. And so being necessary does not mean unanimous consent. There are some people that want me to go away, wish I'd be silent. I will never win over the black people who was cheering for Donald Trump at the White House. Mm-hmm. They not fans of mine. It's okay. And I still love them. One day they're going to wake up and realize that Jamal Bryant was just trying to help them in love. Mm. Yeah.
And I want to get into that, and especially with the DEI stuff and Target. Mm. But before we get there, because that was a perfect segue. But before we get there, talk about being a disruptor.
Yeah.
Have you embraced it yet?
Yeah, I'm here.
Because I feel like me... It's like I fake embrace it. Like, I know that's who I am. I know that's what I do.
Man,
but
listen.
Sometimes I'll go in my room, I'll be like, man, I want an opportunity. I want to work with these bad brands. I want to do this. I want to do that.
Yeah. Embrace it.
When did you embrace it?
Every day.
When did you, when was the awakening moment like, okay, you know what? I embrace it. Because it ain't just come overnight.
No. It is when I made difficult decisions, got pushed back, and I entertain shit, I've done it. But my core said you're doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's happened so many times in my life. I had to stand on business.
Mm.
To be like, hey, everybody ain't going to go with this. But history is reserved for the disruptors.
How do you know that's aligned with God, though?
Yeah, you got to ask him. God is a disruptor.
Facts.
Yeah, God is a disruptor. You understand?
Yeah.
For me, you, and your producer to get out of Baltimore and come here. You can do a podcast in Baltimore. You can produce in Baltimore. The market was too small.
Mm-hmm.
He had to put us in a different place in order for our wings to fly. Mm-hmm. When I started in Pyman Temple in 2000, the population was 1.2 million. When I left in 2018, the population was 600,000.
Mm.
Every month, 1,200 people moving to Atlanta. God had to put me in a different stage. You will never be able to grow with people who eat humans. You from Baltimore?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you something that's going to give you a nosebleed. You ain't going to believe it. Drew Hill, you know who that is?
Come on, man.
Do you know who it is?
Yes.
Drew Hill never sold out a show in Baltimore.
Mm.
Because sometimes your greatness will never be recognized at home. You got to get out to know who it is that you are.
You know where that take me back to, though?
Yeah.
We just watched this. Remember the time, the Freddie Gray stuff?
Yeah.
And the encounter you had with...
What's
the guy's name?
Him. Yes. Yeah.
Did you feel that then, like... Because you were calm.
Yeah.
Did you feel like, you know what? This ain't for me.
No. So those of you who don't know, I was in Baltimore after Freddie Gray, and some guys walked up on me. They recorded it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't leaked.
Yeah.
They recorded saying, you need to get out of here. You know, you wouldn't be able to walk through the street if you didn't have security. But I'm by myself. I was there. So, you know, people like, oh, man, you should have fought them. You should have bucked up. What would that have done? And by virtue of the fact, these years later, you don't know their names.
Mm.
You understand? So greatness sometimes comes with humiliation, comes with embarrassment. You know what I mean? You got to ignore your lower self to get to a high level. So I'm all over the news. I don't know when this is airing. I'm all over the news for talking about black people who went to go be with Trump and they showed up my picture in the White House. The news outlets would have grabbed the footage of me fighting this guy in Baltimore. My whole witness would have been contaminated. Mm. And so you got to play the long game and not the short run.
That's so much knowledge and wisdom, though.
Yeah, I'm telling you that. And I don't want to...
Because even then, it's years ago. Yeah. You walked, you're like, okay.
Yeah. I don't want to gaslight you, so in that moment, I wasn't thinking, one day I'll be in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that I am a student and a disciple of Dr. King, and so I take the nonviolent route. You know, my guys from my church wanted to go back down there and find them and shake it up. No, man, it ain't even worth it. My dear brother, Carlos Muhammad from the Nation of Islam, brokered a peace accord for us to come out together and to move forward, and we did that. So it's necessary. Everybody's necessary at the table. Mm.
Do you think we need like revolutions like that, like Freddie Gray, to be able to, you know?
We in a revolution right now.
Mm.
We are in a revolution right now.
But do we need them to create greatness and for other people to see other greats?
Yeah. Leadership heroes only emerge in disaster. Mm. You understand? If for some reason these lights catch on fire and your producer drag us out, he a hero because he saved somebody from calamity. Mm. Heroes come out of tragedy. America, Black America's in a tragedy right now. The one that speaks out about the cancellation of scholarships for Black students, they're going to be a hero. The one that fights for seniors to get Medicare, they're going to be a hero. Those who say something about the illegal executive orders that are endangering America, they're going to be a hero. Those who fight to get USA back in starving countries in Africa, those are heroes. Heroes are about to be born because America is on fire.
And that's this whole conversation that's surrounded around. Yeah. In those moments, yeah, they will get criticized the most.
Yes.
Like what they say, Harriet Tubman would have freed so many more slaves if they knew they were slaves. Like,
yeah.
In those moments, you're going to have young people saying, what are you doing? Why are you doing that?
Yeah. Yeah. Oof. No. I don't know where the heroes are. Y'all dust yourself off, get ready, wear clean underwear, but you're about to be a hero.
Hmm. Why? So I guess having said it all of this, like, what's your fight with Target? Like, what?
Yeah. So my fight with Target. Target is headquartered in Minneapolis, which is where George Floyd was killed. Target made a pledge of $2 billion to invest in Black business. When Donald Trump came to cancel DEI, they hid it under DEI and canceled the agreement. And so my beef with Target is that Black people spend $12 million a day, and you made a commitment to George Floyd's family. Honor that. Mm. That's my beef. Don't give no money to Target until they do right by us.
You know, it's funny because my shout out to my mentee, Sabrine, she's here, and she had mentioned something that made so much sense. She was like, yo, you got to understand. When they started talking about DEI, like, Target was like, it was like they almost championed it. They got so many Black businesses in their store. And now when the first chance they get, they take it away.
They're
like,
out of it.
It's like, what?
Yeah, you can't be symbolic and revolutionary at the same time.
The biggest hypocrite almost.
Yeah, absolutely. So what, I'm asking for 100,000 Black people to walk away from Target. The stock has already dropped by $11 a share. They've already lost $12 billion. So I need y'all to really get on board. Go to targetfast.org. And sign up, and we are giving an alternative. Instead of going to Target, I'm going to send you a digital directory of 300,000 Black businesses across America where you can spend your money as opposed to going to Target.
How do you get that?
I partnered with the Black Chamber of Commerce.
Ooh. Yeah. So I guess how I seen it starts on like March 3rd or something.
March
5th. March 5th.
Yeah.
Is it a time limit to this?
Well, we're doing the first 40 days, and a lot of people need to understand it don't mean that it's over. But 40-day window to track the spending, to see what is the economic impact. Mm. And then I am taking that data to the board of Target to say, hey, I got 100,000 people with me. This is how much money you lost. Let's move. We can't do an Instagram protest that says that it's moving just because everybody is posting and got a hashtag. You need real numbers. That's how the Montgomery bus boycott was effective.
Okay.
Is we had the numbers to show for it.
So
it's the first 40 days, and we're giving Target an opportunity to readjust itself. Then we're going back in, and then we go after the next one.
Okay. So is it Target in general or just the Black businesses?
Just Target.
Everything in Target.
Everything in Target. That's why I'm letting those Black businesses. I don't want them Black businesses to fail.
Right.
Or to fall apart.
That's what I was going
to
ask.
You'll be able to get those products directly online if you'll go to that website, targetfast.org. I'm going to send you the digital directory so you can still support those Black businesses.
Okay, so the businesses, though, we get this clear, the businesses that are in Target, the Black businesses that are in Target, you still can get them from this directory that you have.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So it's just, once your hope is that, like, what do you want? What is the end goal that you want?
I want Target to reconsider, to reinvest in the Black businesses. I want them to invest a portion of their money into Black banks, and I want them to partner with 10 HBCUs so those who are business majors will know how to do the business of retail marketing.
Yeah, what makes you, like, Yeah, you're a pastor. Yeah, you got some clout. You got some followers. But what makes you think you can do this? Just curious.
I can't, but 100,000 black people can. Mm. By myself, I'm just outside with a megaphone. But when you have 100,000 black people redirecting their money, then we can make a world of difference. When you talk about the Montgomery bus boycott, it wasn't Dr. King's speeches that changed their minds. It was the economic impact. Mm. And when we shift that economic impact, that's when we'll see the difference.
What made you so, I guess, like, invested in this?
I'm invested when I saw how much money we spend. And embarrassingly, I don't know one black business that does $12 million a day. Mm. So we can give all of that money to somebody else. Imagine what will happen if we invest it into ourselves.
Mm. Wow, this is dope, man. Well, I hope you got my support. However, I can support. I can post it in the
Please, targetfast.org. 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 Mm. I need everybody to go sign, register, tell your mama, your cousins, and them, and send it around the way.
Yeah. You know, there's going to be some people out there like, man, it's convenient. It's right by my house, man.
Yeah. There's no revolution that has ever had 100% participation. It's a 3% rule. If 3% of the population gets in the street, then the politics will change, the law will change.
I appreciate you, brother, for coming.
Thank you for having me.
A busy day. Hopefully we can do this one day again soon.
Next time we do it, you bring Chick-fil-A, I'm going to bring a salad.
No, I'm going to bring a salad, too. I'm going to get a Caesar salad or something. Like,
no, we in it together. Thank you for having me.
No problem, man. Dr. Jamal Bryant, Mr. J. Hill, J. Hill Podcast, another amazing episode. It's a wrap. We out.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. 6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.